You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning,
Roto Experts.
To the end zone. It's caught. Touchdown. Oh, my heavens.
The mark of fantasy excellence.
It's caught for a touchdown.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
All right, welcome back for hour number three of Roto Experts in the morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galina, along with George Kurtz, Yang, producing our show, pushing all the right buttons, keeping us flying straight. George Kurtz, what's going on there, George?
What's going on indeed? You know, it's a baseball. We're starting to pick up now, right? Got our fab in most leagues tonight. It's funny. During the commercials, it's not really funny, but I keep checking the rules for this auction tonight. And their fab runs every day at 8 a.m. I like that.
Wow.
A lot.
This is what you, you've been calling that. For. You love leagues like that. Yeah.
Yes, because my reasoning has always been this. Like I said, if your fab runs on Sundays, which is what most leagues do, right? Once a week you run at Sundays. Well, suppose on Monday I think I know something. That, you know, player A is going to take over for player B. You know, and I'd like to get this guy Monday night. But no, I can't. I have to wait till Sunday. Well, by Sunday, A, what I thought is true, but now everybody knows about it. So where I could have gotten him for $2 on Monday is now going to cost me $22 on Sunday. You know, and I've always disliked that. Why should fab run every day? This way, it sort of rewards people. Run it every night. You know, in this case, it runs every morning at 8 a.m. You know, that's fine. I like that. It doesn't change anything other than the fact that it rewards you for maybe paying more attention. You know, we're taking a little bit more chances here. So I kind of like that, that fab. If you don't want to run it every day, you run it three times a week. You know, I prefer every day. But I certainly think it should be run more than just once a week.
You're going to kill in this league because, like you said, it's not an industry league. It's just, you know, a bunch of guys or gals are just getting together and just trying to have some fun and whatnot. And, yeah, I know your commitment and your discipline. You're going to be working this waiver wire every morning, as you should. And, so good stuff for you there. So, like you mentioned, a lot of folks out there going out to the waiver wire looking to make pickups, if you want to throw something at us, give us a call, tweet out to us at FNTSY Radio with any questions you have regarding waiver wire moves. But let me just throw out a few names at you, George, in terms of some players that some of our listeners might be interested in. Some of these guys might be more apt to be added in deeper leagues, but let me throw a couple of names out there, see what you think, okay? Max Fried for the Braves, pitcher, Thursday night, 6 shutout innings versus the Cubs, just 1 hit, no walks, 5 Ks, and the 0 walks is key to me because he has had a consistent issue with his control, even if you look at his minor league career. So, his minor league numbers, 4.18 minor league ERA, 1.368 whip. I mean, what do you think we can make out of this guy for the near future?
Well, listen, Fried was once a top prospect. Right? His value has come down a little bit here. My biggest worry about Fried would be, what happens when Fulton Avich comes back? And he should also be back around the same time as Kershaw. Yeah, he probably needs one more start in the minors. He dominated in his minors in his last start, but they want to build up his pitch count, so he probably needs one more start, 2 at most. So you're talking, once again, mid-April, he'll be back. Someone has to leave that Braves rotation. It could be Fried. Mm-hmm. You know, remember, originally he wasn't starting off as a starter. His first 2 appearances this year was a reliever. Pitched 1 inning and then 2/3 of an inning. Then he got a start against the Cubs, who really, let's face it, they can't hit anybody right about now. Well, I guess they did destroy Burns and Milwaukee last night. But the Cubs have had their issues this season. So Fried, I like him. I think he's certainly on my radar. You know, as far as the sites go, he'd be on my scout team. But to rely on him right now, you need to figure out, like I said, who's going to get dumped when Fulton Avich comes back. You know, you have to look at there. There are other options. It's not necessarily going to be Fried. It could easily be, you know, could they drop? I'm looking here. It's not going to be Turan. It won't be Gausman. I don't think it'll be Newcomb. Could be Wright. right?
Yeah, Gausman actually pitched
right
well the other day.
Yeah, it's not mm-hmm. Gausman. Gausman's going to be – he just came back from IL, too. So it's one of those two, mm-hmm. right or free. Do they want the righty of a left-hander? You know, so he's in a competition for a starting five job. Right now, if I had to guess, I think it's going to be Freed. But I'm mm-hmm. actually, that's just a guess. You know, I don't know this for sure. It could easily be Wright as well, who's another guy. I don't want to say top prospect, but a prospect. And he's mm-hmm. he's pitched okay also so far this season. So it's close. So I'd be very careful here relying on Freed. If you ask me tonight, am I going to bid high on him? No. I might bid a couple of bucks. Just mm-hmm. to see, you know, if I need a starting pitcher here. But I'm very well aware that, you know, he could be sent down or could be sent to the bullpen once Fulton Avich returns. I think he'll be sent down, by the way, not to the bullpen, if he is the loser of this competition.
Hmm. Now, George, I want you to think back to 2013, 2014, and the guy I'm going to mention next was, you know, considered one of the better pitchers in the league, Jordan Zimmermann. Man, remember 2013, 19 wins, 2014, 14 wins, 2.66 ERA. It seems like he's been around forever. He's 33 years in baseball these days, because anything over 30 seems to be just real old. But what do you think about what he's been doing so far this season? In 13.2 innings pitched, 0.66 ERA. Obviously not going to keep up this pace, but do you think that we could see something going forward from him? And is he worth an add? And I guess that's a kind of a question that, you know, I guess it depends on the type of league that you're in, you know, if it's a deeper league or a shallower league. But what are your thoughts on Jordan Zimmermann going forward? Do you believe what you're seeing in terms of that maybe, you know, he could become a productive pitcher again? Obviously not to this level where he's got a 0.66 ERA, but talk to me about Jordan Zimmermann.
I mean, it's hard to believe in him because, once again, in most 5x5s, you have five pitching categories. He's not going for saves, so now you have four pitching categories. We assume wins are going to be tough to come by, which they have been this year for him. He doesn't have been. Even though he's pitched so well, Tigers haven't scored for him. So now he's a three-category guy. He's not really a strikeout guy. He's got 10 and 13 innings. That's not bad, but he's not a high strikeout guy. So he's a ratio guy, you know, which, mm-hmm. you know, that's okay. But you already said it. He's not going to pitch to this while he's pitching as the season moves on here. Now, he faced the Yankees, a team that can't hit anybody right now, and then Toronto, a team that won't be able to hit anybody all season long. All right, so I think Toronto, if I remember correctly, they've been no-hit through five innings now, five times. That's a bad hitting team, very bad hitting team. The Yankees had struggled as well. So I think his numbers are certainly going to come up here. Does pitch in a very good pitcher's ballpark, and as far as Detroit's concerned, Comerica. But I mean, listen, you want to churn the bottom of your roster and you have somebody else who's blah and you want to put Zimmermann in there? I don't have an issue with it, but I think you'll be doing the same thing with Zimmermann in a couple of weeks to a month. You're churning him. I don't see where his value is for a fantasy team. You know, it's just, like I say, he doesn't strike out enough. Not going to win some games. Obviously not going to get any saves, and the ratio should be coming up. So while I applaud him because I think he's become more of a pitcher now, you know, I think he struggled when he came up from Washington. You know, his velocity. He used to throw the ball 94 miles an hour, about average. Now he's down to 91. You know, I think he's going to become more of a pitcher. And as we've seen, you know, you and I are Yankee fans. We saw how long it took CC Sabathia to become a pitcher. You know, after his velocity was lost. You know, I think the same thing is here with Zimmermann. I think it took a couple of years, and now he's become a pitcher. And now that's why he's improving over what happened his first couple of years in Detroit. So I don't think he'll hurt your team. I don't see how he'll help your team.
All right, and I mean, I guess that if he does continue to pitch well, obviously not to this level, you know, he's going to be someone that the Tigers look to move, you know, when it gets closer to the trade deadline, because they're a team that's rebuilding, right? So who knows? I mean, someone might take a chance on him in a trade. You never know. Jason Hayward. Batting 370, three home runs through seven games. Always been a good contact hitter. You know, doesn't really strike out much. Former 2020 guy. Remember, with the Braves. I mean, signed that big contract with the Cubs. I mean, I was shocked to see that he's performing as well as he has. You know, so far. But are we looking at a guy that could give you back some of the value that he had in the past, or is he just best at giving rah-rah speeches in the clubhouse?
Ross beats in the clubhouse. That's probably is what he's best at. But another guy, he's off to a hot start. All right. And outfielders, you know it. We play in 12-team leagues. We start five outfielders most leagues. That's 60. Mm-hmm. A bunch of teams are going to have an outfielder as their DH, and they're talking 65. You know, a bunch of teams have at least one outfielder on their bench, maybe two. Now you're up to 75, 80. There's only 30 teams. There's only 90 starting outfielders. There's just not enough to go around here. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's a spot for them on your bench more than likely. We can pluck them in when you want to. Three home runs, eight RBI, batting 370 on the year. Maybe he's turning it around. I doubt it. I think it's just a hot start for Hay, which is good to see. But I think he's absolutely worth the claim. And once again, tonight he's available on your fab. I'll bid a couple of bucks. It won't go to double digits, but I'm certain right now I have somebody else on my roster who's not doing anything. Most of us do. You know, where blah, this guy's terrible. We took a shot at him. And maybe Hayward's the guy you want to add here. So I have no problem adding Hayward today. Because once again, what's the worst case scenario for you? He's just your sixth outfielder, your seventh outfielder, a plug-in every now and then. That's fine. You know, that's fine. You're not relying on him to start, so I'm actually okay with that. Maybe you have Matt Kemp who's done nothing. I'd rather have Hayward than Kemp, right? So there you go.
Yeah.
As far as Jordan Zimmermann, he has no chance of being traded. He's making $22 million a year, so he's not going anywhere. Unless the Tigers are going to eat a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
Right. He's signed through next season. That's the problem there. So
wow.
Good luck trading Jordan.
Let's talk about another guy, Christian Walker. By the way, great point there, George. First baseman for the D-backs, 0-for-3 last night versus the Dodgers. Was platooning with Jake Lamb at first base, but Jake Lamb is on the IL due to a quad strain. They're thinking that could be several weeks, initially up to 6 weeks that he might be out. So Walker, you know, one of these career minor leaguers, 28 years old, but he's got a good power bat so far in 15 at-bats versus righties, batting 429 with three home runs, and Lamb was the guy who actually was the better hitter against righties in the platoon. I mean, what do you think about Walker long term? He's going to be starting at first base for the next several weeks. Is he anything more than maybe a DFS option, or do you like? Would you take a chance on him on the waiver wire tonight?
Listen, if I needed a corner infielder or whatever, DH, sure, a buck or two. You know, he's the definition of a ride-the-hot guy. You know, you need someone like that, that's fine. But you'll be churning him probably before Lamb comes back, which I heard the same thing as you, 6 weeks. You'll be churning him. You know, he's not someone you're going to have long-term here, which is why like I said, a buck, two, fine. But that's not a little pet peeve of mine. I think you should be able to bid zero and get somebody. You know, hey,
yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
Bids a buck. Why should I be able to bid zero? I didn't care enough. He's the guy I bid zero for. He didn't care about him to bid any money. If someone else bid a buck, oh, hey, you spent some money. Good for you. You win. But that's how I feel about Walker. You know, 0-1-2, not someone I'm looking. I'm dying to get on my fantasy team.
What about the guy who basically has the biggest arms in baseball? I'm talking about Yandy Diaz, plays for the Rays. Oddly, he's only DH eligible on ESPN, but first base and third base most other leagues. Strong guy, you know, his hard hit rate is up this year, 50% hard hit rate. His fly ball rate was 34.6, which is more than 10 points higher than last season. The reason why I bring up those two stats is because no one denies that this guy has a good hit tool, but they're like, hey, this guy's so strong that why isn't he hitting more home runs? So, you know, he's made some adjustments, I guess, to his swing. Batting 310 with two home runs, hitting at the top of the order for the Rays. You know, what do you think about Yandy Diaz going forward?
I don't. That's pretty much what it is. I don't. Another guy, yeah, you want to churn him. You want to pick him up for a week, see what happens here. He only had one home run last year in 120 bats, so he's got two this year. Mm-hmm. That's a little surprising. You know, batting 310, he's hot. You know, so if you, like I said, you want to go with him, churn him, but he's playing in a pitcher's ballpark. Ball does not fly out of there at all. It's not a high-scoring offense. I don't know what you're hoping for here. You know, right now the average, 310, like that. Yeah, you know, that's probably why I'd be taking him if I needed to boost my average a little bit. Hope he keeps it up, but he's not a long-term player for your fantasy team.
Right. Yeah, what you're hoping for is that, you know, those little adjustments that he's making and are going to, you know, help him hit for more power. But, yeah, I get where you're coming from. I get where you're coming from, George. Who are you looking at off of the waiver wire for your teams? Anybody, you know, that you're super interested in this week?
Well, it depends on the size league you're in. Once again, another impossible question that people ask all the time. Who should I get off the waiver wire? I don't know your league, buddy. I don't know anyone who's available.
No, but you're in the leagues you play.
You gotta tell me some names. No one cares about the leagues I play in. No one cares about your league. People only care about the league they play in. I mean, listen, Ramon Laureano, if he's out there, he's someone you probably want to claim. Lord knows the Red Sox probably want to shoot the guy. People on the bases and hitting long home runs. But he might be someone you want to look at, Laureano. And he's available out there. Not maybe in over, you know, a million leagues, but quite, you can get him. That's what I'm trying to say there. You can, he's someone I'm certainly looking at there. Outfield help. I always look for outfield help. We'd like catchers too, but you're not going to find those. But I always look for outfield help because we need so many of them. And Laureano, you wonder, you know, he was a sneaky play late last season. And so I wonder, is this his breakout year now? You know, so that's where I'm going with Laureano there. Other players
like
that
Laureano,
you might.
Absolutely.
He's a very nice young man. So other players you might find out there. I mean, DeShields for stolen bases. That's someone I might look at. Jorge Soler for Jorge was doing a very good job last year until he got hurt. The power, he seemed to be figuring out. The power, some power there. So he might be somebody I'd look at. Grychuk. I'm shocked that the Toronto Blue Jays. I assume he's taken, but Grychuk is someone I was shocked the Blue Jays signed to a 5-year deal. But he's got pop, and he's one of the few guys who can hit in that lineup. He might be someone you might want to look at. Sinsu Chu, if he's still out there. Hunter Pence, I guess in really deep leagues, he's going to play some.
Yeah, that's
That's pretty damn deep. You're probably looking at either an only league or 16 teams and above there. Those are the guys I'm looking at there. The waiver wire in most leagues is not friendly.
Yeah. Too many smart people playing fantasy these days. And you're helping to make them so smart there, George.
Yeah, that must be it. Everybody blames me. I live in a house full of women. I'm used to getting the blame.
There you go. More lineups coming out. Braves versus Marlins. Albies leading off. Donaldson batting second at third. Freddie Freeman batting third, playing first, obviously, Ronald Acuna, cleanup, Johan Camargo in right field, batting fifth, Dansby Swanson, batting sixth, playing short, Ender Inciarte, is it Inciarte, I believe, center fielder, Alex Jackson, at catcher, batting number eight, and Sean Newcomb, lefty, making the start for the Braves there, no more Cakes today.
Omar Kagas, you know, he leads the league in, batting runners and scoring position the past couple of years. Just let you know that. Nick Markakis, wow. Braves put people on base. They do put people on base for their batters to go in. Once again, it's Sunday, so we're going to get a lot of guys who are getting the day off. It's a frustrating day in baseball, especially if a DFS, because you don't know who's in the line, who's out of the line. You really got to check your, check those lines very closely.
Yeah. We'll take a look at some DFS options for you, some batters that you should be looking at getting in your lineup. So we'll be back with more Roto Experts in the morning.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
All right, we're back to live action, as Yang would say. Yang, producing our show, doing a great job today. Listen to Roto Experts in the morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galina along with George Kurtz. baseball lineups trickling in as the morning progresses. We'll go over some of those with you as we see them being updated. But hey, George, let's talk a little DFS for you. So, what's your take us inside your strategy in terms of, you know, how you go about building your DFS lineup? And obviously, it's going to change depending on where you play. Obviously, the two most popular sites to play DFS sports is FanDuel and DraftKings. You got DraftKings where you need to use two starting pitchers, right? And then FanDuel, you got one starting pitcher. They have that first base catcher combo, so you don't have to, you don't have to necessarily start a catcher. So, so I guess your strategy might differ a little bit depending on, what site and what rules you're playing by. But just take me behind the scenes in George's head, and what do you look for when you're setting up your DFS lineups on a daily basis?
Well, which site I'll use, it always goes down to the starting pitchers. A perfect example was yesterday. I started out on DraftKings, then I realized real quick I hated the starting pitchers. Hated them. So yeah. I went away from them. And I went,
especially
went
in the
to
main slate.
So I'm going to start one. Right. It just wasn't enough. It wasn't anybody I was liking here, because I always start my DFS lineup from the starting pitcher on out. And the reason I do that, because I want the win. I want to make sure I get a W. I'll pay up for starting pitchers. I want a W. All right, so but I didn't think I could rely on two starting pitchers yesterday to get a W. I loved Carrasco in the afternoon slate, and then after that, it was like a guessing game. Hap was a lot of money for the Yankees, and I haven't liked the way what I've seen from him so far this year. Not a Hap guy anyway, and I wasn't paying up. I think it was $9,800 on DraftKings for him. I wasn't doing that. So that's how I go about it, Joe. That's the first thing I'm doing: starting pitching, catcher. If I play in a league where I have to start a catcher, generally it's the lowest catcher that I can live with. I think yesterday might have been Chirinos offhand. I think that's who I started, Chirinos. I think it was $3,800 offhand. And that's what I do there with catcher. Everything else, I'm looking for value after that. I'm paying up for my pitchers, not paying for my catcher, and then I'm seeing what else I like, pitching matchups. Obviously, Colorado's at home. Coors is at home. You're looking at your Colorado players and whoever they're playing, in this case the Dodgers. See if you're going to stack them. Maybe you like another game that's a stack game. I think I had to stack the A's yesterday, which didn't really work out so well for me. That's generally what I do. Not in every I'm going to send that multiple lines, but in my main lineup or one of my lineups, I'm going to stack. I do like to take a chance on stacking a team. You always have to look at Coors first, because everyone's doing that. And if it's a big day of Coors, they're going to score 20 runs in this game, well, you better have some players there. It's going to be a tough time winning. And after that, you're looking for matchups. Who's the soft throwing lefty facing a righty, heavy righty lineup that's going to get crushed? You look at Yankee Stadium. They got a soft righty going up against the Yankees. When they had lefties, they really don't have them anymore. A soft throwing lefty at Fenway Park.
That's
sort of thing. That's how I build my lineup.
How much do you look at batter versus pitcher info?
The problem with that is, almost every sample size you take is too small. Where it doesn't matter. It's just not big enough. Any mathematician will tell you that. So I don't look at that a lot. I mean, I do look at it. Isn't it? Someone's 0-for-21 against somebody. I know that's small, but that tells me something. He can't hit them. But you don't know. Maybe he's hitting 10 line drives right at people. That's what you just don't know. Could just be hitting in bad luck. So it's a tool like any other. But generally, it's not one of my main tools. I'm looking at a pitcher. As far as a pitcher I want to go my batters against, is he having problems lately? Is he getting mashed? Where are they pitching? What ballpark? Is it a pitcher's ballpark or hitter's ballpark? I'm probably not starting any hitters in San Fran. I'm just not going to do that. Even in Oakland, I don't like to do that. But we know the ball's not going to fly out of there. You have to look at those. So I want hitters ballparks. So especially if I'm going to pay up for somebody, if it's cheap, that may be the why someone's cheap, because they're hitting in Los Angeles or they're hitting in Oakland ball where balls don't fly out of. So then I'll have to go. I'll give that a second look if the player's cheap enough to warrant that. But generally, I'm looking for guys who I like the matchup, I like the ballpark, and I expect runs to be scored.
That's a fair point. I mean, I do tend to look at the batter versus pitcher, but yeah, you do have to look at you know, everything else, like you mentioned, you know, the ballpark as well. And how concerned are you with putting in a lineup that you know, where your lineup is maybe not using all the same players that the public would use?
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to use too much chalk. You know, but you can't go away from it completely either. I mean, you go away from Mike Trout because everyone's starting. Right, you need Sung. You go away from Mike Trout because, well, everyone's starting Mike Trout. Well, here's two home runs. You lost. And all the others are a major advantage. So, yeah, it comes down to, once again, do I think the public's right or do I think they're wrong? You know, that's what I'm looking for here. I don't want to use all the same players that they use. No. You know, it's baseball. So even in a good matchup, you still might go 0-4. We've seen that a million times. You hit line drives right at people. So it depends. It'll come down to what I believe. You know, is you know, Mike Trout too good to pass up? Yeah, I got to pay up for him. I know everybody and their mothers are going to start him today, but I understand why he's going to hit. You know, he's going to get, you know, 20 fantasy points, whatever it might be. I believe that too. But it might come down to another player. Well, all right, I see what the public's going for here. I understand, like the matchup, but you know what? This pitcher's pitching well. You know, I think he, I think it's a better matchup for the pitcher than we're giving him credit for. Then I'll stay away from that player. It's, in some ways, you're looking for a reason to stay away from the player. You know, I'm searching for it. Okay, no, I agree. You know, this guy's going to crush. You know what? I'm not feeling this guy today. And you just a gut feeling, whatever you want to call it. Maybe you, if you want to find a stat that tells you to stay away from a player, you'll find the stat. There's a million stats out there. You'll find one. You know, and sometimes that's what we do here. We look for a stat. What's the old saying? Lies, damn lies, and statistics. If you want to prove something, you'll be able to prove it.
Right. Do you prefer one site over the other, like either a FanDuel or DraftKings? I know, you know, we've talked about all the time how tough it is, the you know, to field a team with a good catcher. And FanDuel allows you to have just the one pitcher as opposed to the two when it comes to DraftKings. And then you have the, like I mentioned earlier, the first base catcher combination as opposed to being forced to roster, you know, a catcher in your daily lineup.
I don't know if I'd use the word prefer. I mean, I seem to play on DraftKings more often, but I appreciate what FanDuel does. I mentioned yesterday, I did not like the pitching, so I went to FanDuel. Yeah, it was just because I knew I'd be able to find one pitcher I could live with rather than two. The first base catcher option is fantastic. Okay, I mean, that's, I mean, yeah. Once again, it's not like a fantasy league. You could find one catcher, but I don't like paying up for them. You know, that's my thing there. I don't want to pay up for the catcher because then it hurts my overall lineup. So I don't love that because, once again, you can find one catcher. You can start Realmuto, Sanchez, you know, whoever you want to start there. But I appreciate the option of not starting a catcher if I don't want to. So I like that. But for me, if I'm going to FanDuel, it's almost always because I just don't like the pitching slate today. It's ugly. Like I said, last night I thought it was ugly on that slate. I really did. I didn't like it at all. Yeah, you know, I remember talking with Cam about it. I was struggling to find one in the ninth slate, more or less two. You know, I ended up going with Alcantara and Buehler, you know, and because that's the two guys I went with there. And then I went to FanDuel, and that FanDuel didn't work out much better because even the one pitcher I had didn't work out. Just one of those bad nights. What are you going to do? It happens. So that's why I prefer FanDuel at times because of if a pitching slate is just soft. You know, you get one of those Monday, Thursday games, slates where there's just not many games, only four, five, six games. That's more of a FanDuel night for me.
Right, right. So let's take a look at some of the prices for some of these pitchers on DraftKings. I mean, obviously the most expensive one, and I say obviously because, you know, whenever he's pitching, he's going to be the most expensive option at this stage of the game. Max Scherzer against the Mets for $11,900. We'll take a look at like, the top five or so. Jose Berrios is the second most expensive pitcher against the Phillies, $10,100. Minnesota starter. Mike Clevinger, $9,900. And you mentioned that the Toronto offense was wasn't up to par, we'll say. He's got the Toronto Blue Jays today. Domingo Herman is the fourth most expensive pitcher on DraftKings. He's got the Baltimore Orioles. Chris Archer, 9,300 against Cincinnati. Of those five, another one that sticks out to me as a little bit of a bargain, but Sean Newcomb, the from the Braves, 8,700 against Miami. You know, you try to target right some of these. At this stage of the game, you're looking at, you know, who's pitching against Miami, who's pitching against the Giants, right? And yesterday I was looking to make a lineup, and I was trying to figure out who was pitching against the Giants, and they were using an opener, you know, the Rays, because they're playing the Giants. So sometimes it doesn't always work out. But anyone stick out at you in terms of those names that I brought up, or maybe other names? Yeah, based on their salaries?
Clevinger is somebody who's going to be in my lineup. Because once again, he's facing Toronto. Already mentioned they've been no hit through the first five innings quite a bit this season. They just can't hit. And Clevinger pitched a great in his last outing there. So he'll be in my lineup, 9,900. Not cheap, but I'll like him. Listen, I'd love to have Scherzer, but I think I want to save those $2,000 there. So I'll put Clevinger in there. You know, my kids demand I shave. They really do.
Really?
Make me shave. Yes.
Have you ever had a full beard,
really,
George?
About it.
Have you ever worn one?
I can't grow a full beard. Never have been able to. Mm-hmm. You know, just not at all. It gets very patchy. Yeah, even a mustache, you know, I'm blonde, so the mustache doesn't show much at all. The goatee does. That gets a little darker. Although, let's face it, nowadays, maybe a little gray in there, too, a little salt and pepper. So, no, won't be doing that. That's the funny thing. I don't even want to grow a beard or anything. It itches. It drives me insane. But I don't like shaving either. Listen, like I said, I'm blonde. I don't all my life. I can get away with shaving once every 5-6 days. And it's not like I have dark hair where, you know, I have no 5 o'clock shadow. But the kids sort of demand I shave more often than that. So sometimes I give in, sometimes not. But they complain the day after I shave that it's all, you know, scruffy again. Leave me alone. All right. Back to my DFS time. Clevinger's in there, 99.
Yeah.
My second pitch is going to be a little bit more, a little tougher. You know, I'm trying to locate one that I really like here without paying up for it. I'm not going to pay for Domingo Germano of the Yankees because I don't know if he can go more than 4 or 5 innings. You know, that's the issue there. I think he'll strike out a bunch of batters, but I don't know if he's going to go long enough to get the W. So I'm going to have a tough time there. You know, one guy I was looking at, but I don't like going guys in the same game was Marcus Stroman. He had a good first outing. Mm-hmm. Cleveland hasn't been hitting also. What if I go Stroman and Clevinger? Well, best case scenario is I get one win, and maybe I get totally screwed. Neither one gets a W, so I tend not to do that. But it's a shame. There will be. I'll have another lineup. We're only talking about our main lineup, but I'll have another lineup here. Well, I will have Stroman as a pitcher, but not Clevinger. That I can almost guarantee because I do like what I'm seeing there. Zach Eflin had a good first start going up against Minnesota. No Nelson Cruz. I think you said no Polanco either. That's an option at 8,100. I could be talked into that. I could very well be talked into that, actually. But I think the guy I'm going with is a guy that you already mentioned. That's Sean Newcomb for Atlanta against Miami.
Yeah, I was
going
to mention him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just to show you how these sites are, you know, are different, like I mentioned, Herman is the fourth most expensive pitcher on DraftKings and the eighth most expensive pitcher on FanDuel.
So yeah, any I interest think FanDuel in has Wheeler? The price right there.
Right.
Okay,
yeah,
Scherzer?
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
How can I guarantee a win?
And you know what?
I like Zach Wheeler.
I know.
I can't do it.
Yeah. And, you know, I was looking at, you know, the old batter versus pitcher. You got Adam Eaton, 8-13. That's a .615 batting average against Wheeler. And Anthony Rendon just loves to hit against the Mets. And he just hits every Met pitcher, it seems. But 10-28, .357 batting average, against Zach Wheeler. So, any interest in Brad Peacock versus the A's?
No, I'm not going Peacock against the A's. This might be a day the A's break out here. So no, there's quite a few pitches that I do like. There are, but because once again, like I said, I'll definitely have Stroman in some lineups here. I know I will because I'm going to want to pick on that a little bit as far as Cleveland not being able to hit. I'm not going Mike Fears against Houston. That's not happening. Certainly no Miami pitcher. No Caleb Smith. Zach Eflin. I can see myself coming back to this Zach Eflin if I need to save $600 You know, right now right. I got Newcomb at 87, Eflin at 81. If I need that $600, I could see myself coming back to Zach Eflin.
Right. All right, and you mentioned Mets versus Scherzer. Their lineup is out. Jeff McNeil leading off, playing left field. Pete Alonso at first, batting second. Cano third. Conforto cleanup. Wilson Ramos fifth, catching. J.D. Davis getting some starts at third base. Ahmed Rosario seven. Keon Broxton center field, and of course, Zach Wheeler. We'll be back with more Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
Live action continues on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning, heading to the finish line, graced by the music, Chariots of Fire. George and I running in slow motion. Yang producing our show, keeping us flying straight through. Did a great job. Great working with him again today. George will be staying on the network from 11 to 2. Weekend Fantasy Update with my buddy Cam Stewart. What's going on Weekend Fantasy Update there, George?
Well, I'm sure we'll be discussing today's betting line for baseball. The hockey playoffs have been set. As the NHL regular season is over, we'll be going over favorites for each of the teams in those series as well. It's going to be a very busy week. I got the NCAA tournament that finishes up tomorrow, right? To see who's going to win there. There'll be lots to talk about. There's always lots to talk about with Cam, who I think is on his way to Vegas tonight after the show.
Wow. And what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Remember that, right? That's the old saying. So how far do you think your Islanders are going to advance in the playoffs? They made the playoffs, obviously, right?
They did. They're not my Islanders. I don't own them. But I would say they're not very far. I think they'll be one and done.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, I was looking at some batter versus pitching numbers. Michael Conforto, 8 for 26, 308 batting average. But to me, more importantly, 4 home runs against Max Scherzer. Any chance that you would put a Conforto? It sounds like you're scared of Scherzer. Would you create a lineup with Conforto in there?
There's a chance. I mean, the home run numbers are nice. I guess he sees the ball well, is what we would say as far as Conforto. I'm looking at his price right now on DraftKings to see where he is. I guess we'll have to wait a little bit till I can find this. But that's good. Because if I can't find it, it means his price is low. Either that or I can't read and I just can't see it.
I want to say maybe, I thought he was 3,900.
3,900, wow. Yeah, he'll be there.
Yeah, I'd have to double check. Yeah.
No, those numbers.
If it comes up, just make sure that I was right. Yeah.
It is 3,900. I got it.
Yeah.
That's too good to ignore. So he will be in my lineup, correct?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. We'll check some more lineups as we get to the close of the show. But Tigers 7-4 victory over the Royals last night. Tigers surprisingly 6-3. Shane Green 6th save, George. Home runs from the Royals. Jorge Soler, Whit Merrifield, Hunter Dozier. From the Tigers side, Christian Stewart 2-for-3, 4 runs batted in. I guess Christian Stewart, I've spoken to you about him on the show before. 865 OPS, bunch of home runs in the minors. He's had a 30 home run season, 28 home run season, 25 home run season. He's a guy that could be a sneaky, productive fantasy guy for you in Christian Stewart as on the rebuilding Tigers.
Yeah, they are rebuilding. The Tigers have admitted they're not going to spend any money until 2022. So they are a definition of rebuilding as far as your Detroit Tigers are concerned. This is an outfielder. They're all valuable, right? They're all valuable. There aren't enough to go around here. So, sure, he's got to do a decent start here. I don't see him setting the world on fire. But as an outfielder four, outfielder five, I don't have a problem with it.
All right. And Shane Green with his sixth save, you know, a perfect example of a guy, right, that probably going to be moved by the trade deadline, right, as it approaches.
Agreed.
If he keeps
be
this up.
Be shocked if he's not moved. Be shocked if he's not moved. So, and he won't be a closer on a new team. It's highly unlikely he'll be a closer on his new team. So, hell, the Red Sox could use him now. So, yeah, that's the problem with Shane Green. Enjoy the saves while they're coming. Six saves. I mean, I don't know if I thought he'd get six saves through May. The fact that he has it already through April 7th, good for him.
On a team like the Tigers, right? But like I said, 6-3 surprise start for them. And, hey, with the Major League Baseball season that we're talking about now in full swing, it's time to swing for the fences, playing Daily Fantasy Baseball with DailyRoto.com. We were talking DFS lineups. DailyRoto.com is the place to go. Become their eighth $1 million winner, or another one of the countless number of people who have won hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of dollars using DailyRoto.com to help set their DraftKings or FanDuel MLB lineups. If you are playing MLB DFS and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Enter promo code FNTSY for a 10% discount, and you'll get lineup alerts, projected ownership percentages, weather updates, fantasy projections, the use of the lineup optimizers that have already produced millions in DFS winnings. That's the 2019 MLB Daily Roto Premium Package at DailyRoto.com. Use promo code FNTSY and get your 10% discount today. I tell you, George, that that lineup optimizer is something else. They give you like tons of lineups to use, and I mean it's just an invaluable tool.
Agreed. I think it's the most important tool. I use it as well. I'm not saying it's the Bible, the end all, the be all, and all that.
Right, right.
It's just another tool you use. Yeah. Right, it's another tool you use. It's like when during draft season, you use ADP, you use mock drafts, you use rank, you use all the information you can to make as good a decision as possible. That's what it comes down to me. If you want to be a serious player, you have to use all the tools.
Right. We were just talking Shane Green, and if there is none, that's fine. But any closer news just like across the league that you've noticed something that you're keeping your eye on in terms of a situation? Ryan Brazier got a save for the Red Sox this week, but he's not the closer yet. But some people feel that he has, the stuff where he could be an effective closer for the Red Sox, should the need be. But anything to read into with Brazier getting a save opportunity this week for the Red Sox?
Well, remember, if Brazier didn't get hurt in spring training, this would have been much more of a battle to see who was going to close between these two. So I'm not surprised here, not at all here. That's what's going on with Brazier. I think, once again, they'll be – Barnes is not your full-time closer. There'll be instances where it could be Brazier. Matt, there'll be instances where it could be Brazier closing. Maybe Barnes pitched too much, or maybe it's like Brazier's matchup's better that night. And if you're asking if it would shock me if by May 15th it's Brazier over Barnes, no, not at all. Yeah, I know in my home league, one of the players drafted Barnes and Brazier, and he asked me what I thought. I'm like, I think I thought that was a good move, because I think, once again, I don't think either one's locked down. So, that's interesting. The Florida Panthers have just fired their head coach, Bob Bogner. That's what just popped up across my board. So our first NHL firing, Black Sunday, man. They don't even wait till Monday anymore. So Bob Bogner gone as head coach of the Florida Panthers. It's always the worst part of the end of the season, right? These guys get canned. Not surprised. Florida may have been one of the most, if not the most, disappointing NHL team in this season. They just, for all the talent they have, to not make the playoffs was atrocious. Cam Stewart and I will talk more about this on Weekend Fantasy Update in about 10-15 minutes. So other closer news here. I think we're all still waiting, Joe, for who's going to break out and be the closer on the Twins. You know, good team that should have been a top-notch closer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'd love this guy. Is it Taylor Rogers, Blake Parker? There's some other options as well. Another team, you know, Craig Kimbrell would look good here as well. He really would. So we worry there. Seattle Mariners, Hunter Strickland's out. So Anthony Swarzak, Cody McGuirin. Ugh. Nothing really, nothing to love there, but someone's got to close. It's really what it comes down to. Someone has to close there. David Robinson struggled in Philadelphia. Some people think that Anthony Dominguez is just a matter of time, but his velocity's down. So that may not be coming as soon as you think, as far as that's concerned. That it's automatically going to be Anthony Dominguez. He had problems last year, if you remember, Joe, where on back-to-back nights, the first night, dynamite. Untouchable.
Right,
second night,
right. Yep.
So much. He had issues. So I think they need to see that. They can pitch on back-to-back days before he has any chance of taking over David Robertson. So to answer your question, there's really nothing earth-shattering going on, just some situations to watch. Mm-hmm.
But just a continuous moving flow, you know, of you brought up a great point about the Twins. Who's going to emerge from there? If anyone, right? I mean, you know, you might just have
It could be committee all
possible
year.
That, you it know, from, yeah.
But yeah. It's unusual, though. When was the last time, I'm sure there were, but when was the last time you can remember a good team, I'm not saying they're a great team, but a good, solid team that's a playoff contender not having a true closer?
Right. No, that's a good point. Excellent point. Let's take a look at the Cubs-Brewers from last night, then look at some more lineups as we head out today. Cubs put a spanking on the Brewers, 14-8. I was one of the lineups that I was putting in. I wanted to use Wilson Contreras as one of my catchers, and then late I saw he was out, so I had to replace them. Luckily, with Victor Caratini, who was 3-for-3, three runs batted in, two walks, a home run. So, hey, lucky me, right? So, you know, you could use, you know, all the skills that you want, but sometimes a little luck goes in there as well. Cole Hamels pitched six shutout innings for the Cubs, no walks, five Ks. What do you think about Hamels going forward? I mean, a guy that I had left him for dead in the past, but you think he could get a little resurgence here with the Cubs?
Well, I think most of us had left him for dead, you know. So I don't think that's on you. I think most of us did the same thing there.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel a little better.
I think he'll be tough to rely on. Game in, game out. That he's going to pitch well over and over again. And that whole starting staff for Chicago is blah. The whole bunch of SP3s. You know, and that's really what they are. Hamels, Lester, Hendricks, Quintana, Darvish. They're all names. We know the names, but there's nobody spectacular there. So I think Hamels will have good games and bad games. You know, tough to rely on. He's nowhere near an anchor of your staff. Pitched a solid last night, and game ended up being an exciting game, right? That was, again, I was watching that game, mainly because I had the over in that game. And you know, the ball's flying out of Milwaukee. A lot of high-scoring games going there because their pitching staff, they're winning games, but their pitching staff ain't much better. As far as Julius Chacin's your opening day starter, you know, Chacin, Peralta, Woodruff, Burns, you have some issues as well. So, once again, you like it, but you don't love what's going on with here. Hamels is a guy I wasn't starting last night in DFS. I'm not in Milwaukee, so I don't think many people enjoyed his start.
Yeah, exactly.
If you had a choice, you were sitting him.
Right. That's definitely a contrarian play. You mentioned Corbin Burns, seven runs allowed in five innings pitched last night. So let's see. Chris Bryant 0-for-5. Anthony Rizzo 1-for-5 with a walk and two RBI. And Schwarber. Kyle Schwarber 1-for-3, two runs scored, two walks, batting .286, so very early in the season. But that was the Achilles heel when it came to Schwarber. And you know, we know he has the power, just that he's going to kill you in batting average. And you know, I mean, like I said, still early, but you know, he's batting .286. And whenever I think of Schwarber, I always think of a shawarma sandwich. You've seen the Avengers movie, right?
What the hell is a shawarma sandwich? No, I have not seen the Avengers movies.
Yeah, a shawarma sandwich is like almost like a gyro, but you know, you haven't seen the Avengers?
No.
I'm surprised. Wow. Okay. All right. Well, forget. I was going to just mention that the all these Marvel movies have like two or three additional scenes at the end. So what happens is, you know, all the superheroes are finish battling the evil guys, right? So, you know, it's like when you come home from work. Let's say if you were a construction worker, you come home from work and you're just dead tired, you beat. You know, so after they've finished saving the world, they end up going to this restaurant and eating shawarma. Shawarma, like I said, is like a gyro type sandwich. Just has slightly different meats in it or whatnot, but you know, maybe it's watch the movie, George. Come on, get with the times, man. There's a new Avengers movie coming out in a few weeks. You got to keep up.
Yeah, you know, when Hollywood comes up with it, you know, maybe an interesting idea, something new, I'll go out and watch it. All we get now is you know, Marvel comics, DC comics, or a Star Wars movie. That's all we get. There's nothing else going on here. It gets to
nothing
me,
wrong with that.
After a while. Boring.
Right. Well, the Yankees lineup is out, and no Greg Bird in it.
This Yankee lineup is the Aaron Boone saying, "I don't care if we lose" lineup.
Yeah, you got Brett Gardner leading off, Aaron Judge batting second, Luke Voit batting third, playing first, Gary Sanchez DHing, getting picked off at third base with the bases loaded, nobody out last night, George. Oof.
His spike caught on that. I mean, that was bad luck, Sanchez getting picked off last night. His spike did catch, but he got picked off earlier this week, too, at second base. Mm-hmm. That can't happen.
Yeah.
Not for a team that's struggling to hit last night. Bird made an error. Torres didn't touch second base when he rounded it on a fly ball that ended up being caught. I mean, last night was a sloppy, sloppy game by the Yankees. Boone, for some reason, going with Holder for a third inning made no sense.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Kept them in a little too long.
Giving up. Right. Boone, and not realizing that Torres and LeMahieu are two of your better hitters, yet they're batting fifth and sixth, which is actually high for them. Because he's had him sixth, seventh, seventh, and eighth in a whole bunch. Yet you have Luke Voit, who can't hit his way out of a paper bag right now. Yes, Luke Voit's going to hit some home runs, but that's all he can do. He's going to bat 220 and hit 30 home runs, but having him bat third is silly. You know, the Torres should be batting up there. Gardner batting first, silly. Gardner couldn't hit last year, can't hit this year. Torres, one of your best hitters. LeMahieu, one of your best hitters. These guys should be hitting much higher on the lineup. Hell, I'd put LeMahieu 1, Torres 3.
Yeah, like I mentioned, Sanchez cleanup as a DH. Gleyber Torres batting fifth, playing short. DJ LeMahieu playing second base, batting sixth. And I agree with you. They should move them up higher in the lineup. Clint Frazier was a three-run home run, right, that he hit last night? I mean, it almost like you looked at this poor kid. He looked so relieved to finally, you know, do something. So hopefully that's a sign of good things to come from him playing left field.
You're benched today. Thank you so much. You're benched.
No, he's playing today, Frazier.
No, not the lineup I saw. They redo it? Yeah, I don't have him in the lineup.
I'm looking at... really? I'm looking at baseballpress.com. Interesting. Okay, we'll have to double check that.
I'm looking at MLB.
All right, well, you...
Let me see.
I'm
refreshing.
On weekend fantasy update.
Oh, they did. They took Topman out. I say Topman's out, Frazier's in.
All right. Well, great working with you this week, George. We'll see you next week. Roto Express in the Morning, Fantasies, Sports Radio Network. Yank, thanks for filling in for the Fantasy Prince.